Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome all to Elohim Speaks. Barely walk in speaking, but I'm here. As usual, we start off with an assertion. As I walk the path of being honest and good, I will keep my mind focused on reading what you sow. By doing this, I will be walking the path of enlightenment, and I will get what I want. Okay. Love is the act that make others feel good. We always start off talking about love for a few minutes because, well, we think that's very important. You know, love is the key to this whole thing. And this is why the intelligent ones, the ones who are training you, teach you obsessionism, not love. That's the first time I use that word in relationship to love. We get caught up, get obsessed with each other, stalking, you know. If somebody don't want you, you visit them, doing whatever you're trying to do to get them back. You don't make them love you, you know. And that's not what love is all about. But this is the kind of love they teach you on TV, where a person can treat you any old kind of way because you love them. Well, I love them. They beat my butt every day, but I love them, you know. That's not really what love is all about, you know. Like we say, love is the act that makes others feel good. And if you're not doing things that make your partner feel good, your friends feel good, your group feel good, And if they're not doing things to make you feel good, then they're not actually showing you love. I don't know what they're showing you, but they're showing love. I'm going to repeat what somebody said that I disagree with. They said, I want you to love me the way you love yourself. So, no. I tell people, please don't love me the way you love yourself. Some people hate themselves, man. They're drinking and smoking and the drugs and everything. Please don't treat me like that. I tell them, treat me the way Jesus treated the people. Then we'll be on the same page, you know. It don't even have to be Jesus. Could be Muhammad, Buddha, Hare Krishna, anybody. All of the people who came with their great books, they mostly were talking about love because they knew, they understood that love is the key to this thing. I don't know what happened to the lady that was running for president on love. I guess since most of the people on the planet, on the country don't know what love is, they thought she must be out of her mind. How are you going to run on love? All this crazy stuff going on there. Well, we normally we talk about 5 minutes, but I ain't gonna talk too much longer about love because I kind of like the topic that I picked, although it was hard to, it's actually hard to mentally get into it because of the topic itself, you know. The topic for today is that why is there so much hate in the world? But first, we're going to add a new segment to the show, right? So those of you on the line, if you want to chime in and be a part of this segment, you can. It's going to take a few minutes. What do I have to be thankful for? So we can do that every week, too, you know? A couple of things I have to be thankful for. All my children are healthy and doing well. My friends are healthy and doing well. And I'm healthy and doing well. A little tired, but I'm hanging in there. I'm putting the pieces together. Change the paradigm of the planet. And for me to be even thinking like that, that's something for me to be thankful for. Because normally, I don't be thinking like that. We get caught up in one of the distractions, you know, football, baseball, basketball, hockey, gymnastics, whatever. They got 100 distractions out there so that you don't know. So the left hand don't know what the right hand is doing, okay? So let's get into the topic. If you want to participate, just press one on your dial, one on your phone, and let me know you got your hand up, and I'll open up your mic, okay? Now, why is there so much hate in the world? Well, let's start off with what is hate. Let's deal with what this culture tells you that hate is. To feel passionate dislike for someone or thing. That's off the internet, okay? Webster's was a little lengthy. I just know Webster. Pretty much the same thing, though, you know? But the key thing that they said was to feel, okay? So it's a feeling. It's something that you attach an emotion to, all right? Now, we're going to talk about that just for a little bit. They describe different emotions, but in reality, there's only one emotion that you trigger when something disturbs you. It could be something good, it could be something bad. A lot of things disturb us, but it's the same emotion. It's like when I study martial arts, I say use emotional content. Don't be emotional, but bring the emotion up. You can use the emotion whenever you get ready. So if you love somebody, that can trigger an emotional response. If you hate somebody, that triggers an emotional response. But it's the same emotion. I think somebody wrote a song a little while ago telling me it's a thin line between love and hate, you know? A lot of time, when you love somebody, you flip it into hate, we don't realize that it's the same emotion. It's just that they have done something or something has happened to trigger a different response from that particular emotion. Normally, when you dislike something or somebody, you put effort into their destruction, their hurt, their harm, or things that don't make them feel good. You know, when you hate somebody, you really ain't trying to do nothing to make them feel good. That's for sure. So I just wanted to get into that for a minute. There aren't different emotions. There's one emotion triggered by different responses coming from the people around you, or even just coming from yourself. You know, you look in the mirror. If you're white and ain't got no lips, you're taking Botox because you dislike yourself. If you're black, you're cutting your lips off because you dislike yourself. You want to be white. I mean, it's crazy out there. Black people want to be white. White people want to be black. People in between don't know what they want to be. It's a little nuts out there. But the emotional response is coming from a mindset. It's coming from a thought process. And this is what we're going to try to attack today. This is a very difficult subject to deal with because we don't really spend a lot of time on this. You know, this is the first time I've ever done a show about hate. I do a show about love, but I never do a show about hate. So this is a new one for me. So if you guys want to jump in and help me out, feel free to. Okay. Now, I wrote up a series of questions. That's how I do the show. I have a series of questions that I go through, and the first question that I have set up is, does it have to do with leadership? Now, let's think about that leadership for a minute. You know, we, the leaders, they need an enemy. Every leader that comes forth, whoever they are, they come forth with some kind of enemy, you know? If it's the church, they've got the devil. If it's a group, they've got you pissed off at another group. Well, this group is so-and-so, that group is so-and-so, and this is what they do, you know? The KKK, they hate black people, you know? The Panthers, they hate white people. Well, I shouldn't say the Panthers hate white people. But the Panthers remember what white folks have done, you know what I mean? And that triggers not a loving response based on what they have done. Okay? it's groups that does things, and the leaders promote that part of it because it seems to be easier to get people to follow you based on hate rather than based on love. It's kind of interesting. I was with a group called the Nation of Islam, right? And was the devil. I mean, we had a government, had an enemy. You know what I mean? You know, you be with different groups. Now, as a Christian, you know, well, you got the devil. But we're not sure who the devil is, although we hate the devil and the devilish ways. Now, the leaders of the group be telling you who and what the devil is, how to respond to the devil, what the devil does, and this creates that emotion in you of dislike. We dislike the devil. Now, in my mind, I've learned that there's nobody sitting in the middle of earth on a hot rock, sipping tea, waiting for your soul to come down so they can torture you for all eternity. You know what I mean? I don't think that guy's down there, but what can I tell you, you know? The same thing with the reverse. I don't think there's nobody up in the sky sitting in a chair looking like Abraham Lincoln waiting to protect you and serve you. I don't think that works either. But these are my personal thoughts on the subject, okay? But they do things to, the leaders do things to elicit a response to draw you to them, okay? To get you involved in what they're doing. This is what they be doing, you know? This is why in the books and the teachings that I have, or the guidance that I have, it tells you anybody that wants to lead other people is a slave master, you know? That's what they're about. And the churches right now, they're in the process of kingdom building based on what the Bible says about those tithes and 10%, you know, that's a secular response, not a spiritual response that they're putting on you so that they can buy the $5 million houses, maybe $100,000 cars, this is what they're doing. So you they have to give you something to dislike, something to bring you to them with that emotional response that we're calling hate, okay? Now, so in my opinion, leaders have a lot to do with the teaching of hate and the putting out of hate. Most leaders I know give you an enemy to fight what they think about when they're around you, okay? Now let's talk about the next one. Does it have to do with money? Okay. I mean, if I'm broke, I'm poor, and you got rich off my back, taking my stuff, you know what I mean? Oh, yes, I'm going to have a bad feeling about that, you know? So, yeah, it has something to do with money, and the people that are functioning from the dog-eat-dog culture, right, they don't believe in justice. They believe in taking what they want, you know? If you don't believe me, ask George Washington and the boys. They came in and took what they wanted, you know? You have a lot of people that, the French, they were here taking what they want. That's why they were able to sell territory to George Washington there, because they took whole area here, you know? Spanish, you know, they rode around taking what they want. You have African groups that took what they want. Egypt took some places that they wanted. So when a doggy dog comes forth, okay, they create hate around them because of the actions that they do. You know, Hitler, he wanted to make everybody his slave. He don't care what color he was. Look at all the white Jews he burned up. They didn't like him. If you didn't like him, there's only one solution. Put him in the oven. You know what I mean? And this guy definitely started his campaign on hate. That's what he was about. He got people in his country right now that loved his campaign about hate, you know? As long as they're in the driver's seat, they seem to be okay with hate, as long as they're the ones hating somebody, you know? But the situation always flipped. You can ask some of the families that were running the planet, you know, in the 1400s, you know, or 1500s. They wiped them all out, you know. That's the only way you can get rid of them, the hate mongers. It seems to be the only way you can make them go away. You have to force them out. Sometimes you have to kill them. I think about knocking people off, but sometimes that's the only way they can go. I mean, it's just that simple. So, just like what Britain was doing, India, Pakistan, and as when she was in control of the United States, and how the colonies were being treated and everything, you know, that hate is a strong thing. And the leaders promote that hate. They bring that hate to the table because they want to, because it's a methodology of control, okay? And money is one way to bring hate into existence, okay? Some people call it jealousy. You know, I'm driving an old beater. Hey, you come by in a Bentley, you know? And I'm just as smart as you are. So do I get jealous? Do I hate you for what you're doing? I hate you when I realize that it's my stuff you took, the reason why you got the Bentley. And I don't have enough power to get it back. So, just like when somebody asked me, if you were president, would you increase the military spending? And I'd double it. I'd probably triple it. Because once I become president, realizing how much crooked we did, we're going to need a strong military. Everybody going to want their stuff back. You know, so many people hate this country. It's just unbelievable. But anyhow... Let's keep moving. Are some people just crazy? You know, that's another thing. When you think about some of these nuts out here, they're out of their mind because of the way they were raised. A child is not born crazy. No child is born crazy. It's part of the educational cycle. I was talking about that with a friend of mine earlier today. It depends on, you know, one of the comments he made. It depends on who's teaching you, who's training you, you know. And a lot of responses and stuff that we're getting is because of the training, because of the educational process that you're getting. You follow what I'm saying? So that would make you hate, I mean, dislike, passionately dislike what's going on based on who's teaching you and what they're telling you, you know? And they, why I'm just going crazy? Because they're thinking one thing and it's just not reality. When I think about, what's his name? They made a whole series out of this guy, Hannibal Lecter. I mean, this guy, definitely out of his mind. And I'm not sure how he became as crazy as he was, eating people and everything else. I'm just amazed they made movies about these guys. What's more amazing is that I actually watched it. You know, I mean, some of the stuff this guy was doing, I mean, it's just unfathomable that a person, a human being, can even think to do these things, you know? The next question is it so much easier to take someone else's stuff than to make your own? That's a very good question, because most of the time that hate is occurring group-wise is because you've taken some stuff or somebody has taken your stuff, you know? When the Europeans first came into Egypt, they saw all this stuff. They couldn't believe what they saw. They said, man, how did these people get all this stuff? They had so much stuff. When the kings of Africa came into Europe, I think they changed the doggone economy. They brought so much gold and stuff with them. They said, man, we got to go there and get some of that. And that's what they did. Of course, they came in and learned how to, because they didn't know how. They didn't know how to build no nations. They didn't know how to build empires. Because at the time, the Americas was actually an empire, you know. And they saw this empire and what was going on with the trading back and forth with Africa and all that stuff. They were just amazed. So they decided to learn how to build a military to come and take it. And that's what they did. They called themselves conquerors. But see, a conqueror to me is just a thief and a liar. That's all they are. They figure out how to steal your stuff. They come in and just take what they want. And that creates hate on both sides. Well, I don't know if you can term jealousy as a form of hate, you know? But you can become so jealous of a person that you don't give them no love. Everything you do to that person don't make them feel good because you're jealous of what they have. You want what they have, you know? So the emotion of dislike, okay, rears its ugly head for many, many different reasons, okay? So when you think about the First World War, Second World War, Spanish Wars, Indian Wars, whatever wars, whatever name they put on these wars, it's always about somebody going and trying to take somebody else's stuff. You know, that's what the, seemingly from the, from about the 12th, 11th century on through, that's what most of the wars have been about. Somebody trying to take somebody else. Actually, it goes back further than that. Because when you think about China, Japan, Korea, and the way they fought each other to take each other's stuff so that they can unite the country, as they call it, it goes back pretty far, you know, especially the what was going on in Africa, well, so-called Africa. They've been stealing from each other for a while, you know. I don't know exactly when Africa first started the conquering business. I know it had a lot to do when Mama of Egypt came up with the war machine. That's a republic. A republic is a war machine, because prior to that, the armies were fought by the farmers, and the people, regular people, would fight the wars. But when Nama came along, he created the first standing army, where he had a private military to do battle. And he used his wealth, they used the wealth, to create this army. And once they created this army, they set forth conquering things. That's why how they were able to actually unite Kemet. Because the king of the south was called the Scorpion King. And Nama and the king of the south duked it out. to unite Kemet. Now, literally, I don't know why they couldn't live together, but that's not how it worked, okay? So by doing that, that created a very, very strong, hateful response about what was going on. People taking other people's stuff. And that creates hate, okay? And it seems easier just to build your army. I don't know if it's easy or not, because I never tried to put an army together to try and take nobody's stuff. So I'll leave that up to your mindset, okay? Now, the next question would be, is hate a byproduct of injustice? And I was talking to somebody today, the other day about it, justice, injustice. In fact, last Sunday we were talking about justice and injustice, you know? we live in this country, as black people, we live in this country. We go to court for the same crime, you know? I was watching Malcolm X today. Believe it or not, they brought that movie back. He got caught stealing, and the two white women that were with him, they gave him 2 years, and the brothers, they gave him 10 years for each crime, but they ran effectively. But that's what's going on with the court system, you follow what I'm saying? There's no justice, you know? they give their people 1 or 2 years and give us 10 years, but it's the judges, you know? So we don't know that we need to target these judges that are filled with hate. And they know that they have people on the bench that are filled with hate. That's why they set up the appeals process, because they know every time you walk in that courtroom, you're not going to get justice. That depends on who the judge is. And once again, those that are on the line, we're talking about hate. So if you have a comment or you want to say anything about it, just press 1 on your dial. Hold up for a second. Just press 1 on your dial, and that'll let me know you have your hand up, and then you can join in the conversation. The topic for today is, why is so much hate in the world? And we're going through this, why so much hate in the world, because if you know why it is, you might have a chance to change it, you know? Well, that depends on who you think you are, too. If you ain't nobody, then you can't do nothing about nothing. You're waiting for somebody up there sitting in a chair to come down and help you do it, you know? Okay, so what's the question? Injustice. We talk about injustice. Is hate a byproduct of injustice? I would say yes, it is, my personal opinion. There's a lot of things that trigger that emotion to make you dislike something very much. This is what hate is all about, okay? To feel passionate dislike for someone or thing. And and injustice will make you do that. It's like we just had riots and everything else because we're not just getting the justice here that we're supposed to with the atmosphere that this president is breeding. It just made things a whole lot worse. Not that the stuff wasn't here before he got here, but he just made it a lot worse because of the atmosphere that he created in the country. Now, my next question is hate a way to control the masses? Now, think about that for a minute, you know. Every group has somebody to hate. Every country has an enemy. So all over the world, they're using hate to control the people, you know. They have enemies that they're spying on, that they're watching 24 hours a day to make sure that they don't infringe on their borders that they have taken. You know, each people have taken countries or taken land from other people, and they're adamantly protecting the stuff that they have stolen, you know. And once you start stealing people's land and property, you're going to need a military to protect it because, you know, that breeds hate. So they use hate as a way to control the masses. Now, if I'm in a group like the Klan, and let's deal with the Civil War for a minute. They fought the Civil War, right? Physically, the South couldn't beat the North, okay? The North was fighting for some kind of justice, or equality or whatever, but they fighting for some kind of justice, and they lost. But they kept fighting through the political system. I got a long one off here. They kept fighting through the political system. And as they were fighting, and if you look around, a lot of the changes with the flags and everything else and the statues and all that didn't happen right after the Civil War. It happened after they began fighting through the political process to take control of the country. Now, on the internet, it said that the South didn't lose control of the country until the second term of Bill Clinton. I haven't researched that, but that's what the internet says. You know, the internet's kind of tainted because the internet had me thinking something that wasn't so a few minutes ago. But the South kept fighting. And what were they fighting for? They were fighting to enslave people. They think that they have the right to enslave people. You follow what I'm saying? So, hate is a way, is a methodology that they're using to control. Now, they have all kinds of ways to trigger that response in you without you even knowing about it. In your relaxed state, I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan. I do not like the Cowboys. See, they're triggering that response in you without you even knowing it through the stuff that they have put out there to distract you from what they're doing. Because as long as you participate in all this madness out here, you're really not watching what the hate mongers are doing out here and how they're taking over your stuff. They're taking your stuff, your rights, everything away from you, and you sitting here watching Air Jordan fly through the air. I mean, Air Jordan is good. I mean, I love watching my brother fly 50 feet, man, and throw the ball in the basket. He's the best it ever was. But while you're watching that, these people are taking your money, taking your houses, they're removing your neighborhood, redistricting everything so that you don't have nothing, and you sitting there, you know, with your popcorn and your barbecue, and you're having a good time while everything that you have is being taken away from you, you know? So they're using your emotional responses to control what you do, you know? This is what we call programming. They're programming you to do and to be a certain thing. Now, they don't want you thinking a certain way, because if you think a certain way, you're going to wake up and say, wait a minute, something's wrong with this, you know? I'm sitting here eating barbecue, you know, on my backyard on the grill, and this guy's on a $5 million yacht roaming the ocean, flying in his private jet, you know what I mean? His children's secure for the next 100 years. This is what Reagan said. I want to make sure that my children are secure for the next hundred years. Most of us are throwing our children out of the street. Soon as they get old enough, we kick them out of the house. We ain't worried about securing them. We're not making no money to secure our family for no time at all. I was talking to one brother. He said, he owns property all out of Philadelphia. You know, we were talking about doing some projects together. He said, my children got to get it the way I got it. I was listening to this guy and said, what is wrong with him? You know, but it's part of the programming. We set our wealth up so that they can come and take it. And that's what they've been doing. They've been taking our wealth, and we haven't been able to pass the wealth along because of the way the programming is, how they're using our emotions to control us without even knowing what they're doing. Okay. Now, the next question is hate a byproduct of greed? You got some greedy people out here, but they don't never have enough. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't care what you give them, more. You got trillionaires out here. That's more money than they'll spend in the next 200 years. But they want more. They don't ever have enough. And when a person is that greedy, it elicits a hate response from the people that they're getting everything from, because you don't get that kind of wealth without using the power of the planet. Now, wait a minute. I just said something. What is the power of the planet that they're using? People are the power of the planet. They just don't know it. Okay? You think the 1% got more than the 99%? No, they don't. They just more focused. You know what I mean? They don't go to, they go to a football game if they own the football team. That's when they go. If they don't own the football team, they ain't got time to be sitting around there watching nobody do a 100-yard dash on the field. You know what I mean? They might bet on it. They might gamble on it, but they're too busy to be sitting on the doggone. Now, the intermediate people, right, ones that close to being a millionaire, you know, they might buy a box and sit up there, show off with their friends, you know what I mean? But they're not the real deal, okay? They're the ones that the Bible says that the king will give their stuff to so that they can live good, and that's what's going on, you know? But, man, they have us, they are so greedy that they're greedy. Their greed knows no bounds. It knows no ends, okay? They're using hate. Now here's something that we need to think about. You got covert hate, and you got overt hate. And then you have subliminal hate, okay? You can just be around somebody and just don't feel comfortable around them. That's a subliminal hate that they have put in you from childhood. How'd they get that in you? Through the cartoons. They subliminalize you through the cartoons to make you hate things that, and you don't even know that you dislike these things. But, you know, here you are. You know, you sitting in a bar drinking your little favorite booze. You know, they have programmed you to buy certain booze and to dislike certain booze. It's all part of the programming when you shouldn't be drinking none of the booze. You know what I mean? Why are you destroying your body with liquor and stuff, you know? I mean, going most, well, I can't say most people, but you go in people's houses, they got liquor cabinets. It seems to be the norm to have liquor cabinets. Why? When you cut that TV on, everybody, soon something will go wrong. Oh, I need a drink. Oh, I need a booze. I need a bottle. I need something to relax my nerves. You know what I'm saying? Hey, sit on the couch and meditate for a little while with some quiet music, you know? Why you got to put the poison in your system to relax your nerves? It's part of the programming. And then the programming, the liquor is a depressant. You get depressed and you drink a depressant. That don't make sense. But it makes sense to you because of the programming. They're using your subliminal emotional instability to control you. This is how they get paid. This is how they're making so much money. Okay? Now, now, think about it for a minute. Is that the reason every religion in every country has an enemy? Every religion, every country has an enemy. They need that emotional response due to them. Okay? I mean, think about it. I mean, name me one religion that don't have an enemy. Name me one country that don't have an enemy. You know what I'm saying? And I'm reading, I don't know if you read it or not, the book, 48 Laws of Power. If you read the book, the 48 Laws of Power, it tells you, if you don't have an enemy, make some. You know what I'm saying? Because they need that hate response. Leaders. This is all about leadership, okay? Moving up towards power, getting power, you know, from a dog-eat-dog culture. This is a dog-eat-dog culture. Make no mistake about it. If you're thinking about justice in here, you better try to get some power. You only get justice if you got power. And the power comes from people. I'm going to say that again. The power comes from the people because the people are actually the power. So the more people you have in your group, the more power you have. This is what the advertisers be paying you for. If you got 10,000, 15,000 people that's following what you're saying or doing what you're doing, the advertisers will pay you money to advertise their stuff because they know that if you with 10,000 people buying their stuff, they're going to get paid. So they don't mind breaking off a little bit if you're going to make, because they know where the power's at. They know who is the actual power of the country. But the people that are suffering, sleeping on the street, hungry, out of doors, they don't know that they're the actual power of the country. You follow what I'm saying? The whole thing is amazing how they have brainwashed you so that you don't know who's on first, who's on second, what's on third. Remind me of comedians, Abbott and Costello. They made a comedian about that. No, what's on third? Who's on first? What's on second? It's amazing at what they have done. Oh, boy. I got to talking. I went right to commercial. I went right past the commercial time. if you have a comment or something you want to say, just hit one. Let me know you're on the line. This is Elohim and Corp, Elohim Five Tribes and Corp. And we're sponsoring Elohim Speaks, okay? And I'm here every Sunday. I try to do it during the week, but it didn't work out. I just can't. I'll be working so hard that even today, you know, I've been up since 9 o'clock yesterday, you know, and I'm still going. I missed my friend's show yesterday because I fell asleep, woke up at 9:30, and I've been up ever since. So around this time, I'm usually pretty sleepy, pretty tired, but here I am, okay? So I'm not going to run the whole commercial. I've got about 20 minutes left. But I would, the call-in number for the show is 516-453-9230. We'll be here every Sunday at 8 o'clock. So remember that number, because sometimes I text the wrong number out, okay? And I see we have a hand up here. We're going to let, oh, that's 1927. We're going to let him talk about it. Maybe we'll let him do his own commercial today. So, okay, let me see here. I can get his mic open. There we go. 1927, you're on the air. You got your hand out. You got a comment or statement. You want to talk a little bit about your show? Let us have it.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Elohim. This is Brother Mac from Legacy of a Nation. I have a question concerning your topic, which is why there's so much hate in the world. And the question is there more hate in the world now than there was before, or is it a matter of being aware of what is going on now in a way that we may not have been aware of the same or similar circumstances in the past?
Well, that's a good question. And that's a question for one of the statisticians who deal with hate. I don't know any of which I don't know of. I don't think they deal with it like that. More or less hate in the world today or yesterday. It's, I have no idea. I mean, people have more reason. Well, I don't know. I think it's pretty much the same. We've been fighting and killing each other for as far as I know, we've been fighting and killing each other for a long time, thousands of years. We've been fighting and killing each other. So the answer would probably be, I don't know, because we have more people now, and we have less people then. So when we talk about percentage, see what I'm saying? Percentage wise, it might be greater. Number wise, might be, but percentage wise now might be lower. But number wise, it might be more. Well, I'm saying that's a little trick they play on us with the food stamps and all that stuff. You know, the lower people you have, the greater percentage of you are doing something. But the more people you have, the less percentage are doing something, but there's more numbers. So that's a question that I actually couldn't answer, you know, right now without some kind of facts or something. And I don't know where you would get a fact about that. Is there more hate in the world now than before? But then you have to put some kind of timeline on there when you say now or before. So we need some kind of timeline to fix our mind to a particular point in history. So what timeline did you have in mind when you asked your question?
Well, we had, I think we tend to use the Bible as a calendar. And if we go back, Genesis, when there were only two people, Adam and Eve, and they had I think they had twin boys, Cain and Abel. Is that not right?
Well, they were Cain and Abel. I don't know about the twin part, but maybe you know something I don't know. But they did have Cain. There was Cain and Abel, right? And that takes us back to the jealousy portion.
Mm-hmm.
And one was jealousy of the way he was treated by the father.
Right.
Or by God.
Right. If we're to take the story literally, the two brothers were very different from each other, and it came to be that one brother slew the other, and right. If we take the story literally, you could say that one brother killed half the world in killing his brother Abel, killed
the fourth of the population. He killed one fourth of the population. Because their mom and papa was there too, so there was four of them. By killing one, that's one fourth of the population. He knocked off.
Okay, all right. Mathematically, you're right. But even so doing, he killed a quarter of the world, a quarter of the earth, a quarter of the people that are purported to have been on the earth. He was one quarter, and his parents were two quarters, and his brother Abel was one quarter, and Cain slew Abel, thereby killing off one quarter of the total population, which is pretty severe.
Relating that to your question, okay, the timeline, based on do we have more hate now than we did before, percentage-wise, yes. Numbers-wise, percentage-wise, yes. And numbers-wise, yes. So, based on the timeline that you're given, we have more hate now than we did before. But you bring up an interesting thought that hate has been with us since the beginning. Hate has been with us. So we have been hating and killing each other back from the beginning. So, and the reason is one of the reasons that we went into it, that was jealousy. Person being jealous over the treatment, over the injustice that he thought he was getting from God, you know. So his jealousy was sparked by injustice, and he felt so he wasn't being treated the same, and he got jealous of his brother because he couldn't kill God, so he had to grab the next best thing, kill his brother, you know. So. Yeah, so hate has been with us all along. But the same things that triggered it back then are triggering it now. Injustice, mistreatment of one another, lack of love, and jealousy, you know? So, and if we're going to, that brings us to the next question here. it skips a question, but I'll go to the question that it brings up. Can we teach the world of love? Now that we realize what's causing the problem, what's causing the hate, can we teach the people hate? But I wanted to give you a few minutes to just to mention your show on Saturday, and that's the Legacy of a Nation. It comes on Saturday from 6 to 7. If you can give them a call in number for that, then that would be great.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Brother Elohim. My show is Legacy of a Nation, and we're on every Saturday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And the call-in number is 319-527-6199. Legacy of a Nation, 6 o'clock every Saturday, Eastern time. Every Saturday, 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Thank you, brother Elohim, for
I'm not going to. I'm not going to do all these commercials today because I slipped it and went by. I'm just going to mention a couple of Safemore Electronics. Their call number is 215-909-3352. Taylor Tots Learning Academy. Her number is 610-638-8352. And then we have the UAIA. Their number is 609-638-5828. And we have the UNIA, and that number is 726-300-7147. I'm mentioning everybody anyway, so I might as well do that done a whole commercial. We got Nikki Love. She's a spiritual leader. Her number is 267-822-2320. I went and pulled up the commercial. I'm just doing it real quick. I like that. Anyway, back to the topic here. I kind of lost my spot here. We'll talk for a second here. We're talking about hate. How? The last question is up is, can we teach the world to love? It's like they say, can we teach the world to sing? Can we teach the world to love? Now that we know what's causing all this hate and causing all the problems, is there something that we can do, you know, to facilitate some type of change in all of this so that we can change the paradigm around the planet? Now, everything depends on who you are, you know. If you're a created being, then you're waiting for God to do whatever you need done. If you're not a created being, then God is in your mirror, and you can particularly come up with a plan to change things because you got it like that. Everything depends on who you are, you know. If you ain't nothing, if you feel like you ain't nothing, never going to be nothing, ain't going to be nothing, that we used to tell us when they moved as kids, that's what black people thought. Ain't nothing, ain't never going to be nothing. If that's what you think you are, then nothing's going to happen. Everything's going to stay the same. But you have ability in you, okay? Okay, let me do this portion of what we got here, okay? So the question is, if we're going to teach the world of love, where do we start? That's the question. How do we begin? You begin with that person in the mirror because that's the person that's powering the planet. You are, as a person, you are the power of the planet. And if you want things to change, you have to realize that you're the one that has to change it. And you change it by changing yourself. Teach yourself how to love others. If you want a good example of how to love somebody, study the teachings of Jesus. You know, that's what I tell people. Don't love me. Don't treat me the way you treat yourself. Treat me the way Jesus treated people. And then we're
going to say,
you have the ability to change this thing. wait a minute. Okay, I lost my spot here. Okay. Yeah. You know, there's some things that you need to do that will help you do that. And one thing is go on the Genesis diet. That's what I call it, the Genesis diet. Those of you, I'm a Bible thumper. Those of you a Bible thumper, go to 129, Genesis 129. Read it. It will tell you how to eat. It will keep you from being sick and all sluggish and draggy where you can't get nothing done. It will keep you out of the doctor's office, okay? It will keep you away from the medicine and the pills and all that stuff if you just eat the way the Bible's telling me to eat. Genesis 1:29, okay? Get yourself off the flesh. You ain't supposed to eat no flesh. They flip the script. They call them flesh meat, you know? But meat, according to the Bible, is herbs and seed-bearing plants. That's what you're supposed to be eating, okay? Now, I recommend a diet for you that if you just eat this once a day, we only got about 3 minutes, so I'm running through this kind of fast. If you eat this once a day, you know, it will help clear your mind. It will help clear your body up so that you can get something done, okay? The five vegetables that I recommend is Brussels sprouts, collard greens, string beans, boy, I don't know why I can't get them all in a row like that, green peas, and string beans. So now I said string beans, not green beans. String beans got a lot more nutrients than green beans. There's a difference between the two. but eat a couple of those five vegetables once a day, and it will help build those perfect cells that you're looking for. And it will help keep you out of the doctor's office because according to Genesis, we're not supposed to spend that much time with the doctor, okay? There's a wonderful journey awaiting for you if you decide to take it. We're trying to encourage you to take the journey based on who the Bible say you are. You want to know who you are? Like I said, I'm a Bible thumper. Go to go to Psalms 82. It will tell you who you are. Once you know that's who you are, your responsibility is to provide food, clothing, and shelter for 6 billion people. And if you're planning to feed, clothe, shelter, secure 6 billion people, your table will never be empty. Your pockets will always be filled. The problem is you're not planning according to who you are. You're planning to the perception of what the 1% has told you who you are. They don't want you to know who you are because if you knew who you are, that puts you in competition with them. They don't want no competition. They love it up there being 1%. Can you imagine? 1% controlling everything. We're almost out of time here. And Mac, I appreciate you jumping in here and giving us some thoughts. We got about 1 minute left. I skipped a commercial. I'm having so much fun with this. This is the first time I talked about hate. I've never talked about hate before as a topic. And it's very interesting. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to do the closing assertion. I like to do that while we're streaming. And then after that, if we're going to make comments, you can. I have walked the path as divine energy today and did not break the universal law of reap what you sow. All energy went out for a divine purpose, and I will reap what I have sown this day. All that I have put out, I eagerly embrace its return. So let it be written, so let it be done, okay? Now, now remember the call-in number. We're here every Sunday from 8 to 9. The call-in number is 516-453-9230. And on Saturday, I participate with Brother Matt on his show on Saturday. And the call-in number, I don't have a call-in number right up here. Brother Matt, do you want to get that call-in number to your show right quick?
The call-in number to Legacy of a Nation is 319-527-6199. And that's at 6 o'clock every Saturday Eastern Time.
Okay,
thank you, Brother
Elaine. Thank you very much. You're quite welcome. We got about 5 seconds. With that, I'd like to say that I love you. And remember, love is the act that makes us feel good. I will see you next Sunday. We'll talk.
until then, let's see. I won't say peace, because you have brought to my attention that peace is a preparation for war. But